I don't know what to say. That was good. I mean, that was tremendous. Wow. Noah's Park Adventures in Learning, we'll go ahead and dismiss you at this time for your children's church opportunity, and I'll invite you to take your Bibles and make your way to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. As you're making your way to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, listen to this question and see if you can supply me with an answer. What were we talking about last Sunday? One word. Well, two words, spiritual gifts or giftedness. Spiritual gifts. That's what we were talking about last Sunday. And my question to us last Sunday as we began talking about spiritual gifts was simply this. Do I know what my spiritual giftedness is from Christ? Do I know what my spiritual giftedness is from Christ? And I want you to ask that question of yourself as we're sitting here thinking this through. Do you know what your spiritual giftedness is? Do you know what God has given you that sets you apart for His usefulness, that perhaps you are very significantly specified in what God wants to do with you? Do you know what your spiritual giftedness is from Christ? And the second question that we asked last week is, am I using or seeking to use my spiritual giftedness in the body for the glory of God? Am I using or seeking to use my spiritual giftedness in the body for the glory of God? In other words, as we have this beautiful display of tools over here in front of us, what are you shaped to do? What is it that God wants to use you in a very special and very significant way that He shaped you in order to do this? And so, last week I made this point about what it means to be shaped for the spiritual giftedness that God wants to use you in. And I said this, to know your spiritual gift is scripturally important, and to know your spiritual gift requires you to seek God. Are you a square tip shovel or are you a round tip shovel? What does God want to use you for? How has He crafted you and separated you so that when you are used according to that, He receives the glory? Not a one of these tools in this holder is like the other. Some of them perform similar jobs, but those jobs are even different depending on what needs to take place in that job at hand. And so last week we talked about operating in the giftedness that God has given us. And what we said it is, when you operate in the giftedness that God has given you, we said that is that simply answering a calling. You've heard those words many times before. God called me to, and you can fill in the blank, be a missionary. God called me to be a chaplain. God called me to be a teacher. God called me to join the service. Yes, you could put that there. God called me to go to college. You see, not every calling of God is necessarily a religious institution. Perhaps God's calling you to something later in life that He's preparing you for now by the calling that He's leading you in. And so last week, operating in the giftedness that God has given us is our calling. And a calling, what we said, a calling is, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to seek God. It's an opportunity to hear from God. It's an opportunity to be obedient unto God. And it's an opportunity to demonstrate that God is indeed your God. In other words, you're following as He's leading. You're seeking Him. You're hearing from Him. You're being obedient and demonstrating that He is indeed your God. But one thing I want to help us with this week, I want to get us past the idea that you have to be able to label everything about the Spirit's giftedness to you before you use it. You see, what I said last week is absolutely true. It is important, scripturally important, that you know the spiritual giftedness that God has given you. But that does not mean that you have to be able to label and name every idiosyncrasy about that spiritual gift in order to be able to use it. For example, you take any one of these tools over here, and if I were to put it in your hand, many of you would be able to deduce, the most usefulness I will gain from this tool is by, and you figure out how to use it. You don't have to know all the different details of each one of those tools in order to be able to use it. And so I want to get around that you have to have this spiritual test and understand exactly what your interests are, or understand exactly what you even call the spiritual gift. Many of you get hung up on, well, what am I? Am I a speaker? Am I in leadership? Am I a prophet? Am I a teacher? What is it that God has gifted me in that He will use? What is the name of it, and what is the different parts or concepts of it? When I look at Scripture and I read the lists that we have, such as in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, what I see is, rather than providing an exhaustive list of spiritual gifts, Scripture instead is pointing us towards examples. I don't believe for the first inkling of a moment that all of the lists that we have in the different books of the New Testament are the exhaustive list of what it means to be spiritually gifted by God. I believe they're simply here to say these are examples of the spiritual giftedness of God. Now, are these examples absolutely giftedness of God? Yes. Do they label the giftedness of God? Yes, but not in its entirety. They point us in the direction that God is able to equip you for whatever it is that He's calling you for. And so when you read, well, you're in 1 Corinthians 12, begin in verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. You just read a whole wide variety of spiritual gifts. And what I'm saying is, this list is not inclusive of all spiritual gifts. We have another list that we find in Romans chapter 12 that gives us some differing spiritual gifts. We have another list. I told you last week there are four lists included in the New Testament, and all of them differ and vary in some way. And so if we were to get an exhaustive list of spiritual gifts, they would all have to agree and all have to include the same gift, so there would be no controversy. But they don't. They differ and vary. And so in the way that God equips each one of us, it is also different. And what He wants to use each one of us for is also different. And so the bottom line is, I don't really care what you call it. Just dig with it. You never had a point like that before, have you? That's the first point. I don't care what you call it, just dig with it. Go back in time with me, if you will. We talked about this briefly last week. But whenever we responded to New Orleans as a church, and churches from all across the country responded, crews showed up, people showed up carrying sometimes luggage with them, sometimes tools with them, sometimes both. Sometimes they just showed up carrying nothing, hoping to get in on what was going on in New Orleans and to help out. And these crews showed up, and the first thing they did is they went in and they looked at the needs inside of the home. And do you know what they found when they got inside of the homes? We talked about it. You've been there. What did they find? Mud. And so what they knew they needed for that task at hand was a shovel. Now, do you think that it was very productive of the disaster relief crews to show up and look inside the house and go up to one of the people there in New Orleans, Louisiana, in Alabama, Mississippi, and say to them, "We see your problem. You have mud inside of your house." And what we've discerned is we've discerned that what we're going to do is we're going to take and use a shovel to come into your house and to begin cleaning out the mud. And then you proceed to demonstrate to them all of your superior knowledge of what the shovel is for. Would that prove helpful to the person at all? Do you think the person receiving the help would care one iota about your knowledge of a shovel? Do you think it would change the fact that they know what their need is and you know what their need is and you know what you need to use? You might be giving the person help, say, "Well, all I have is a," this is interesting, "a duck bill shovel. All I have is a duck bill shovel. Or maybe all I have is a round point shovel. And I'm going to use this to dig out your home." What do you think the person would say? You're there to help. You got a shovel. Come on in. They could care less what it is that you're going to use to provide them help. All they know is that you're there to help, and they would invite you in and receive the help that you would benefit them by being there. I don't care what kind of shovel you have when you show up at somebody's house that has mud in it in New Orleans. Just dig. Don't worry too much about what you call it. Just know that God wants to use His gifts in you to strengthen others. Do you see the picture? When it comes to spiritual gifts, sometimes we are so enamored by trying to figure out what we call the thing that we never use the blasted thing. "Well, I believe I have the gift of helps." And then we try to run that path to figure out what that means. And we don't accomplish anything by doing that. But you said last week, "No, your gift." The pursuit of the gift is more important than the intricate knowledge of what you call the doggone thing. And when you're pursuing the gift, you're going to begin to understand what it is along the way. Don't worry too much about the other thing. Here is someone when you show up in New Orleans. Let me ask you this. Go down this line with me for just a second and we'll come back. I promise you. Why did we do that? Why did we take shovels and chainsaws and all these other apparatuses to New Orleans to do work? Why did we do that? What's that? To minister to people? Just to minister to people. Why? There's another "and" to that. To meet the need, why? To share the gospel. It was to share the gospel. What our desire was to get there and minister to their need in order to build a bridge, in order to share the gospel. It wasn't just a humanitarian effort that we were on. Or let me take that back. It was the greatest humanitarian effort anybody could be on because it is saving humanity from the flames of hell. But it wasn't just to fix up their homes. And so as we showed up there, the work that took place began to do something in people's lives. It began to enable faith. As crews worked and sweated and dug out the homes, those people were looking on. And the questions that began coming to their mind were questions like, "Why would these people travel from Florida to come into my house and dig mud out? Why would these people give of their time and of their money and of their efforts to come here and dig my house out? And those questions begin to boil up in people's minds, and people begin to not have an answer for that. And then they would hear somebody in the group say, it's time for lunch. Can we just pray over the meal that we're going to have? And prayer enters the situation, and even a formal setting of praying over a meal. And they say, these people are giving thanks for what they have to eat, and it's not much. Because they're out here sweating and working and toiling with no restaurants open. And all of a sudden, faith begins to become more enabled as those things take place. And we get to the bottom of what these spiritual gifts are all about. They're not just to do work, but they are provided in order to enable faith. In order to build others up and lead them in what is good and what is right. And when we use our spiritual gifts to encourage faith in other persons' lives, other people's lives, we are using it in such a way that glorifies God. So the big question is not what is the name of the gift or what category it fits into or what it looks like or acts like. The big question is, am I doing what I can to strengthen the faith of other people around me? You see, here's our plea to the ministry quite often. Would you please, 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 please serve, because we need you. What did we just say? God's a beggar. And He has nobody able to take over that ministry, run that calling, and to bring Him glory through it. What we ought to be saying is this. Would you see if God will use you to increase others' faith through this ministry? Would you just dig a little bit and see if God will use you to increase the faith of others through this ministry? And God can spiritually begin to lead you into wisdom as you are serving for the right reason, and that's to increase the strength, faith of others. That is at the heart of Paul's desire to come to Rome. We didn't cover the spiritual gifts we find in Romans last week. We probably won't get there this week, but I want to give an introduction to it. Go back to Romans chapter 1. Because I want you to see what is at the heart of Paul's desire to come to Rome. When you get back to Romans chapter 1, go to verse 11. Paul says this in verse 11. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift. Now, if you're just reading through Scripture and you're starting Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and you go through Acts and you come to Romans here, what you're going to find in Romans is this is one of the first evidences we have of spiritual giftedness or being empowered by the Spirit of God with gifts. And you read on, you get to Romans 12, you're going to get some of those gifts. You come to 1 Corinthians, you're going to see some of those gifts. Again, I say they're not exhaustive. They're examples of how God empowers you to minister to those around you. But as you're reading through, this will be one of the first inklings you get that God has given you a spiritual gift. And when Paul says this, I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established. He sounds a little, well, let's put it this way. He sounds like he's going to come and he's going to bring gifts to the people of Rome. But that's not what he's really saying. He clears it up in the next verse. Look at verse 12, and we're going to talk about both of these. He kind of has a little dash in my scripture behind established. It's kind of like there's an afterthought, and he says it a different way. In verse 12, he says, that is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Impart some spiritual gifts what Paul is saying to them is that he wants to give them the benefits of his gift. I want to come to Rome, and the giftedness that God has given me, I want to bring that giftedness with me that I may give it to you, pour it out before you. And as he rethinks that, there's a mutual giving of giftedness that he includes in verse 12. That they too will give it back, their giftedness back unto him. I long to see you that I may use my gifts to strengthen you. Oh, and by the way, I'll be strengthened in the process. What's going on at the Church of Rome? Well, let's just say this. They had some mud on the floor. And Paul wanted to come in and say, what God has blessed me with, what He's gifted me with, I want to use that so I can help dig out some of that mud. Central, First Baptist, Home Bay Baptist, First Methodist, First Presbyterian. I don't care what church you name around here, folks, we all have some mud. We all have some mud on the floor that is inhibiting the things that God wants to do. And He has gifted and equipped people in such a way that whenever they put their giftedness forward and they say, God, I want to use my giftedness not to be the center of attention, not to stand out from the crowd, not so that people will know my names, not for any pride-filled, flesh-filled reason whatsoever, but God, I want to use my giftedness so that it may increase the faith of others, then God says, go dig. But God, I don't know exactly what I'm equipped in. Don't worry about it. Just go dig. And what you'll find out along the way is how you really are shaped and what He is calling you unto as a calling in your life. You see, I don't care what the name of the church is or the population of the church, problems arise. Situations that need help develop. Ministries that need faith infused are prevalent. People who need their faith strengthened are in the pews every Sunday. And your spiritual gift is an apparatus in which to strengthen others' faith. At Central Baptist, am I doing what I can to strengthen the faith of others around me? Ask that question of yourself. Am I doing what I can to strengthen the faith of others around me? That was Paul's driving desire to go to the Church of Rome. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, to build you up with a spiritual gift so that you may be established. If you don't know what it is, what your gift is, just dig. The call out of the hurricane ravaged areas, people of all ages and capabilities helped in the hurricanes over the years, not just the one in New Orleans, but all over, even here in Florida. Some 96, some older people, some younger people came and they began working together, and they didn't know what they were going to do. They just worked. Some started out with big shovels and they found they were better at something else before the weeks were over. I told you when I began in the ministry, I started out towards a sports ministry, so to speak. And I ended up here coaching one of the greater teams around. If you see mud, just dig. Work to strengthen the faith of others. Work to build up what God is doing. Am I doing what I can to strengthen the faith of others around me? In a few weeks, we're going to have a ministry fair that will highlight all the ministries of Central Baptist Church. And I hope you know that God has given you that opportunity to investigate what it is that you can do to strengthen the faith of those around you here at Central. Prayerfully, as we get closer to that, consider how God would seek, how you would seek God's calling in your life through your church. That's what we're here for. A calling, again, is an opportunity to seek God, to hear from God, to be obedient unto God, to demonstrate that God is indeed your God, and to strengthen, thirdly, or lastly, the faith of others around you. But you're not just digging for others. You're also digging to help you. You see, that's kind of the point that Paul brings out here in verse 11. It's kind of like he realizes that he's got some spiritual gift he needs to bring to Rome so that they may be established, where I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift that you may be established. And then in his hind thought, as he goes to verse 12, it's almost like he did a Chick-fil-A thing here. You know what they do at Chick-fil-A? What do they do at Chick-fil-A? Thank you. Thank you. Okay. There you go. You're not going to answer me. You're going to be stubborn, David. I can't believe that. Yeah. Leave me hanging out. He's closed on Sunday, isn't he? Yeah. Leave me hanging out like that. But that's kind of what Paul did here. I woke you up, didn't I? I'm sorry. But that's kind of what Paul did here. He's saying, for I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts so that you may be established. Really? I'm just doing what God's called me to do. And it's my pleasure to serve you. Verse 12. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Paul's real quick to say, it's not just about me coming to you, but it's about my pleasure in doing what God has called me to do. That we both may be established, that we both may be encouraged together. He knows that he's not just going just to help the Church of Rome. Matter of fact, that's a long journey. But his desire is to go to help them, and he knows it's not just to help them, but he also knows it's for what God is doing in his life as well. You see, you're answering a call, seeking the gifts that God's given you in order to use them to bring faith in others. It's really about you and others at the same time. It's about you growing in your faith as well. Yes, a spiritual gift that God has given you is to strengthen the faith of others around you, but it's also to strengthen the faith of others around you and me and you as well. As a faith-strengthening tool, this is how it works. In order for it to accomplish what God has desired your spiritual gift to accomplish, it must be exercised also in faith. Are there any unsaved people that are good at teaching? Yeah. Are there any unsaved people that are good at administration? How about leadership? What makes your giftedness spiritual? It's God-given. You see, the difference between the spiritual giftedness that the believer has and the talents that the world walks in is because the talents that the world walks in are simply aimed at what they want to accomplish. It's simply aimed at more money or more fame or more power or more prestige or whatever it is the world wants to accomplish, even if it's the humanitarian side where they're suffering in order for their humanitarian brothers around the world. It's still a pride-filled ego trip for them to say, look at the good I'm doing. It's all about self. The talents of the world are not aimed at strengthening another's faith. And they are not used in faith or by faith for the purpose of faith. But for the believer, in order to be used to strengthen another's faith, guess what has to happen? We have to operate in faith. If God is going to use your gifts and talents to build another's faith, you can't operate in the flesh and expect to receive spiritual things from it. You can't go, well, I know how to lead this, or I know how to teach that, or I know how to do this, and say, I'm just going to simply go and do it because, after all, I'm doing it for the church. God's going to bless it. You know what He says to that? He says, get that junk out of my face because it's not worship unto me. If you're going to use your spiritual giftedness in order to build faith in the lives of other people, it has to operate in and through faith itself. Galatians chapter 3, verse 5. This is an interesting chapter in Galatians chapter 3. Paul says to the church, who has bewitched you? And then he goes to talk about how they've turned their attention from faith back to works. And in verse 5, he says this, therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Jeff said it tremendously well as he was talking about Jubilee, and I believe I would wake up at 2 in the morning when I hear Jubilee, when he said that it's about accomplishing things with faith and trust in God. And then he goes on a little bit later and he says, we often try to do things on our own strength and resources. And he drew the conclusion that I'm drawing, that doesn't accomplish anything for the glory of God. John Piper says it this way, a spiritual gift is an ability given by the Holy Spirit to express our faith effectively in word or deed for the strengthening of someone else's faith. Bottom line is, my digging, God often uses to increase my faith. Oh, but it takes faith to begin the digging. It takes saying, God, this is a spiritual work, and the only way that anything good is going to come out of it is if you're in charge of it. And so, God, I will only enter into this task as you have led me to do so. And if I operate in faith, it will accomplish much. If I don't operate in faith, I am not aiming to help strengthen someone else's faith. I am not aiming to accomplish anything eternal. I am just simply filling the boxes and checking the checks. Then it's not a spiritual gift that I'm using. It's not spiritual because the Holy Spirit of God is not the one who is actively empowering me. Do you see the implications? Just because someone knows how to balance budgets and create spreadsheets and knows how to orchestrate time, does that mean that's the right person for any committee in the church? Just because someone has an education degree and knows how to keep a room under control, does that mean they're the right person for a teaching situation in the church? The question is not how talented are they at the task. The question is, do they use their talents to strengthen the faith of others as a demonstration of faith and reliance upon God from their own life? That's what do they use it for? And how do they use it? We dig by faith. And we answer God's calling by faith. And we lead by faith. Or we don't lead at all. A calling is an opportunity to seek God, to hear from God, to be obedient unto God, to demonstrate that God is indeed your God, to strengthen. strengthen the faith of others around me and to grow in faith as I operate in faith.